Hello, everyone. Welcome to the official first episode of Perspectives, a Cedar Creek midweek podcast where we're going to be talking about the past weekend's teachings. With me in the Cedar Creek studio this morning are Rob Gerber and Matt Novacek, who spoke on Sunday morning and Friday night. Gentlemen, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sure.
It's a little early for Matt. It's 6 a.m. in the Cedar Creek studios, but we're going to roll with it as best as we can. We have just started a new series at Cedar Creek on the Everyday Value Menu is what it's being called. Five-part series talking about some of the everyday values that Christians can exemplify. And the first week was on marriage. So Matt spoke on that on Friday night and Rob spoke on that Sunday morning. So one of the things that I was hoping maybe we could do is if each of you could just give maybe like a 60 to 90 second summary of your teaching. And Matt, if it's all right, I'm going to start with you because you spoke first.
Yeah, I did speak first on Friday. I had the great privilege of breaking the series into Cedar Creek. It was good. It was fun. I basically read, basically what my teaching consisted of was just kind of talking about how marriage, in terms, living a Christian marriage is in itself, by definition, radical compared to what the world would call marriage and how the world does marriage, because Jesus and Paul, they really exemplify how marriage is to be a continual act of leading and following with the husband and the wife, of unconditional love, unconditional respect with the husband and the wife, a lot of serving and aspects like that. And so I really structured in that aspect, and I read out of Ephesians 5, and then most of the teaching was just talking about examples Brianna and I do at home, and feel free to listen to it. We talked a lot about toilet paper, and then I did give a physical example too with some pitchers of water, talking about how when the Spirit pours into you, you pour into your marriage, and when you empty yourself, you get refilled by the Spirit and continue to pour into your marriage. And then the Spirit just overflows from your marriage into other aspects of your life. And that was probably a special treat for people who actually showed up to Friday night, because I don't know how I could really explain that super well through audio. But
fair enough. Thanks, Matt. Rob, how about you?
Yeah, I started with the basic statement, I guess, marriage is an everyday, amazing, foundational thing in God's economy. And there's a lot of adjectives in there, but it's an everyday thing, but it's also this foundational thing and this kind of amazing thing that God does amazing things with. And so I went from there into what God does with it, some of those big things that God does. It's a picture of our relationship with Him. This, you know, husband and wife being married is a picture of our relationship with God. It helps us to understand that. Second, it's the building block of society. I think that God created that institution of marriage, and then off of that, He built governments and civilizations and the church and all of these other human relational institutions start with marriage. Third, it's a foundation for our kids' lives. Our kids really thrive and grow well, you know, when mom and dad are together. And finally, it's a blessing to the husband and wife. It's a special favor. So all of these big things that God does with us, with our kids, with our neighborhoods, really with the whole world through this institution of marriage. But then I got into what are the, you know, the everyday things. How, you know, what are the daily skills that we can work at to have an amazing marriage? And I laid out four of them, and there's more, but four simple things. Talk to your spouse. You just got to communicate. Relationships are built on communication over time. So if you're not talking, you're not growing together. So you just got to talk a lot. Carve time out of the day to do that. Second, serve together in the church for the Lord. Find something that matches your gifts and your spouse's gifts and do it together if you can. Third, work at your stuff. I wish I could have had more time on this. I talked a lot about husbands, you work really hard at loving your wife. Wives, you work really hard at respecting your husbands. Matt talked about this as well. But then don't focus on the other's job. It's so easy for a husband to say, well, you're not respecting me. It's the wrong thing to say. Say, how am I doing at loving you? It's easy for wives to say, well, he's not loving me. Wrong thing to say. You work on your stuff. So that was the third daily skill. And the fourth one was bless your spouse. Find something that they like. Find a lot of things that they like. And on a regular basis, just make them happy. And then I just ended with a statement. Marriage is an everyday investment that pays huge dividends.
All right. Very good. Thank you. So for anyone who has maybe only been to Friday nights or only been to Sunday mornings, they might be wondering just really briefly how you coordinate on these teachings, or we've got two different people speaking on the same topic any given weekend. How does that work practically? Do you guys compare notes? Do you guys just wing it? How does that work?
We sent one email, and it was Rob sending his outline to me. And when I finished my PowerPoint, I sent it to him and a couple other guys, and that was about it.
Yeah, we coordinate some. I mean, obviously, we're making an effort to do the same messages on Fridays as on Sundays. And so there's a little bit of coordination. And one of the things that we do is somebody will do a synopsis of a whole series and send that out to all the guys who are going to teach. So we're at least starting kind of on the same page. But then as a practical application, there isn't a whole lot of coordination, I guess, between the messages. It's good to kind of know, and sometimes they're very similar, sometimes they're not similar at all.
Okay. So just for this particular topic, how did each of you, I guess, start thinking about it, or what was in your head when you were thinking about approaching this topic? I mean, you gave the summary of your teaching, so we know kind of what the content was. Was there anything in particular for experiences or anything that was driving what you chose to talk about?
Well, I think we always tend to teach along the lines of our personality and our gifting. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about having different men teach on the same topic, because, you know, Matt and I both talked about marriage as an everyday thing, but you're going to get really different perspectives and really different ways of going about it. Even if we had the exact same points, you're going to get a different way of looking at it. So I really like that. So for me, I'm such a big picture guy. I always start, like, you know, I start with these big picture statements and then I try to break it down. And it was interesting. Matt, yours, you kind of went the other way. You started small and built up, and that's fun. I like that because we're going to get these different perspectives. But anyhow, for me, I what's my big idea, and I start to build a case. I mean, I'm a lawyer, so I'm laying out my teaching points and proving my point. That's just kind of how I go about it. And you're very different.
Well, when I was coming up with the points and all that jazz, I went back to the synopsis Jason emailed to everyone. I lost it. Thank you, Justin, for resending it to me. But I was going through it, and one of Jason's main points was that just living the everyday marriage was in of itself radical, and I began exploring that idea a lot. And kind of like what Rob was saying, my main thrust was I was going to start small, personal, intimate almost, and then just expand it from there. The way I tend to structure my teachings a lot is what's it say, what's the word say, what's the spirit saying, but then overall, like, what's the big picture? So yeah, I go from small to big, and I kind of say, like, especially with this series, what's really cool is, like, the little things you do have a huge impact. A huge impact. And yeah, it was really fun just to, because I felt like when I was listening to you, we did that. I went from small to big, and you went from big to small, yeah, which was pretty cool.
I think another difference between us is you focused in on that radical word, and I was trying to stay away from that. it wasn't good or bad, but it's just, in my mind, I'm thinking, and this is another thing that I do, I always try to take these messages, and I recognize, okay, this is a 5-week series, so there's one little thing. And so I was trying to stay away from the radical. I think it was really good what you did. And you started, though, with, okay, an everyday marriage is radical. And I'm thinking, I want to be as unradical as I can here about this. So, and they're both true, I think. And so it was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun start to this series for all those reasons that you just said, partly because you both kind of made a similar point that I wanted to pull out. You know, Rob, you said that everyday things like marriage, simple everyday things become powerful over time. And Matt, in yours, you said that, you know, waking up, going to work, paying your bills, all that is part of God's plan. And you both made the point that marriage lived with Christ is a radical thing, that it's not what the world does. And Justin had also mentioned that in the discussion guide that he sent out. He had asked the question, how does the world around us view the value of marriage? And you both kind of seemed to allude to that topic in your teachings, but didn't expand on it a lot. So I was curious what each of you would say, I guess. Like, how would you classify the world's value of marriage? Or what is it that makes Christian marriage radical compared to that?
Well, I think freshly married, I would say, compared to Rob, 3 years into it, I've seen a lot of friends from college who weren't Christians get married, and I work with a couple of young guys who've just been married just a couple of years and stuff. I would say that the world kind of categorizes marriage as a, well, let's just give it a try type of deal. Like, I like you a lot, you like me a lot. All love is all you need. We have that. Let's give this a shot and do our best and see what we can do. But while we do it, I'm going to hold back a few things because I don't want to be so committed that if this doesn't work, then I get incredibly hurt. And what ends up happening is when you don't fully commit and your marriage does fall through, well, it fell through because neither of you gave 100%. And that's what Christ asks of us is, like, I'm not asking you to give half effort, Matt, or half effort, Brianna. I'm asking you both to give everything you got to each other so that your marriage can be full. That's how I would probably phrase it.
Yeah, I think that's true, that there's a very real holding back in marriage. And maybe I'd say this. I think that people get into marriage now and it's very much, okay, what is this going to do for me? And it's a very self-centered thing. You know, I want this and it's going to be good for me for these reasons. And so that's what people look for getting into it. And that's how they conduct it. What is this doing for me? And that's missing so much of what God wants in a marriage. Instead, God says, no, there's a responsibility here. You're here to bless and to serve, and I'm going to use this as a function. And it certainly is a blessing, and I talked about that, and it's a huge blessing. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It really, truly is. In this world, is to be married to Sue for 29 years, but that's not what you get into it for. There's a responsibility, and God uses this. It's something beyond just, am I feeling good right now? And our world is so much about, well, does this feel good to me? What am I, how? And it's a mistake to try to get into marriage that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking about this yesterday and thinking about some of the marriages that I have seen, and even the ones that are working well, even the ones where the couple is in sync and they seem like they're kind of working towards the same things. A lot of times the underlying value, I guess, is kind of, it seems like it's almost an economic partnership, or if it's working well, then great, we can keep it around. As soon as it starts to maybe be impractical or be more work than we think it's worth, it kind of goes off the rails and it's more disposable,
right,
at that point, I guess.
And part of it too is because it's becoming more and more and more, well, what do I want? I think that's one of the reasons that we see marriage being defined so much differently. And men marrying men, women marrying women. This is not God's plan. And so as we've divorced ourselves as a culture more and more and more from God's authority, from God's world, part of that is this institution of marriage that, again, I think is so foundational in God's world. We're walking away from it because, partly just out of rebellion, to be honest, I think that part of what we see in marriage is it's the way marriage is tracking in this country. I think it's kind of part of just this overall rebellion against God and his rules, and it's a mistake, and I think that that we're reaping some of the benefits of that, some of the consequences of that.
Yeah, one of the other things that I was thinking as I listened to both of your teachings, Rob, you hit on this idea that marriage is a picture of our relationship with God, and it's something that he gives us to try to exemplify that. And it just seems like, to me, it's such a, now we're looking at marriage in our culture, and it's changed a lot. The idea of it and the value of it has changed. It's kind of a corruptible idea that it makes me wonder why maybe God would have used this picture when we're messing it up so much.
probably true of all the pictures God uses. I mean, he gives us incredible leeway here in this world. And when he does, we tend to not do it very well oftentimes. And so, I think that that there's all kinds of things like that that God allows us to mess up the picture. And unfortunately, we do. And we're never going to get it perfect. You know, it's not like, oh my gosh, if this marriage isn't perfect, then somehow I'm going to be twisted. It's not that at all. God is so gracious and so powerful, and he uses our mistakes, and he overcomes our weaknesses. But it's different than that now. You know, when we're calling marriage disposable, when we're saying you can marry anyone or anything, when you're, getting into it for these strictly selfish purposes, that's, I think, the issue. Not that marriages are going to be hard, not that men and women don't fail in their marriages. You know, that's going to happen. We're breaking the foundations of it, and I think that's the big struggle here.
Mm. I missed the question.
That's all right.
There's something going on in the background, and
Cedar Creek studio is under attack from air conditioning, I think. And there's some noise going on. But off of some of that, one of the other things that I was thinking about is that, Rob, you just kind of mentioned that we're going to fail in this. Things are going to go wrong. It's not always going to be perfect. What do each of you think? What advice would you give to someone who's maybe, they're in a marriage, they're focused on the things that they should be focused on. They're trying to do all these things that they want to be doing. And it just doesn't seem like it's working. Maybe it's not going well. Maybe they're not getting the results that they expect. What would you say to that?
That can go marriage by marriage.
Sure.
Some marriages could be struggling for different reasons, and other marriages can be struggling for other reasons. I guess the cliche answer would be like, go to the Lord, give it to the Lord, all that jazz. And it's incredibly true. I think probably when Christians struggle with is seeing how to do that practically. Like, how do I give authority of my marriage to the Lord? How do I just say, okay, Jesus, take the wheel? Like, what are some practical ways?
And sing it.
I don't know the song. But, I can at least say, when Brianna and I have had hard times, like we have an argument or we get into a really heated discussion or we just have a disagreement, at least one practical example I can give in a moment-by-moment case is, you just have to walk away and pray and calm down. And I know, though, that marriages that are struggling have much deeper rooted issues, but
sure.
I'm only 3 years into this. I'm sure Rob might have more advice.
Well, you're very right. I mean, it's situation by situation, and it's hard to answer, a question like that in general, because every relationship is different and every set of couples is going to have their own different things. But there are some things, and I think you're right, Matt. It does sound like a cliche to say go to the Lord, but it's not. I mean, it's so true. It's just so absolutely true. But kind of, I thought of three specific things that I would say in general to couples who think, oh my goodness, this is trying, but it doesn't seem to be working. My expectations aren't getting met. Three things. One is you might need to change your expectations. I really think a lot of people come into this and they think something's going to happen and it doesn't happen and it was never going to happen. And it's okay for us to change our expectations. And it means getting outside of ourselves a little bit. It means allowing God to say, you know what, you wanted this, but I'm going to give you this instead and it's going to be great. But we have to join into that if we, I mean, honestly, some people just never can get over that I thought it was going to be this and it's not, and so I'm just tuning out. Sometimes we have to change our expectations, and God can help us in that. The second thing is to work on your stuff, and that's it's so true. So many couples spend so much time and effort pointing at each other, and it just it, it there's bitterness there. There's anger. There's angst. And when you say, Lord, you know what? I want to be a better husband, regardless of what my wife does. There's such peace there, and it gives me something to do. And the third thing is, you haven't worked enough yet, and people don't want to hear that. Mm. But this is you have to persevere. You can't quit. So many people, Christianity, so much, and Christians, we do this, and we can't. We say, oh, I tried it, and it didn't work, so I'm done. No, you just didn't try enough. You did, and people don't want to hear that because we want these quick answers. We want this magic bullet that if I do this thing, if I go to this conference, if I read this book, it's all going to be better. It's just so often I just need to keep doing this thing for a long time. And all three of those things, the more time we spend with the Lord, like you said, Matt, the more time we spend, I'm going to have quiet time, I'm going to talk to God about this. He gives us the strength and the understanding of those things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes me think of, this was probably a few years ago. Actually, it was right around the time that I was getting married, and it came into play in some of our wedding planning. But I heard a teaching where one of the things that this person was talking about in relation to his family was he would come home from work every day and ask himself, how can I die to myself today?
That's a great question.
It was not a fun question to try to implement at the time, but...
That's a good question. Yeah, and you know, I know I'm Johnny Raincloud when it comes to kind of this kind of stuff, and you're so much more, Matt, so much more positive and optimistic, and it's good because both are true, you know. And but I think that's a great question. How can I die to myself today? Mm. You'd probably say, how can I make my wife alive today? And they're both good questions.
No, I come home from work and I say to myself, man, I don't want to do jack squat. But you know what?
That's similar to what...
But sometimes you just got to say, yeah, you know what? I just want to sit on my duff and loaf. But, you know, you got to just kill that flesh and just say, give it to the Spirit. Give it to the Holy Spirit and just know you got to do it. Sometimes you do. Yeah, you know, you're right. Sometimes you just show up from work, you're tired, and you just got to grind for a couple hours.
Sometimes, yep.
Yep. All right. Well, I think we're about out of time. So I want to thank you both for your thoughts. Thank you for your teachings this weekend. Thank you for being here early and recording this. It is much appreciated. We hope to see you this coming weekend to hear the next part of this Everyday Value Menu series. So we'll look forward to seeing you here at Cedar Creek Church in Eau Claire Friday nights at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 10:45. And we'll be back next week to talk about those teachings again. Until then, thank you again, gentlemen, for being here.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and have a great week, everyone.
Music for this podcast provided by DNK via freemusicarchive.org.